We are back on the Bengals Beat podcast. I'm Lindsay Patterson alongside the Cincinnati Inquirer Bengals Beat writer Tyler Dragon. Tyler, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. It's now July. This year is going by extraordinarily fast. We're at the halfway point now. Feels like we haven't done nothing this year but stay inside and try to fight a coronavirus pandemic. But, you know, I'm doing as best I can. How about yourself?
Not too bad. It's funny you mention that because I was thinking about it the other day. Just remember the times at the end of the 2019 season when there was like a countdown until draft day. And then this is where we're at on July. This is where we're at. And speaking of the NFL, though, we've had recent news. I know a lot of reports and more will change over the next couple of weeks as the NFLPA and the NFL have discussions about training camp and regular season. It's going to be cut down to two preseason games. And as of now, the reports week one and week four, so the Bengals wouldn't face KC, and they wouldn't play that finale against the Colts. When you look at that, Tyler, and I think it's kind of interesting because – the Indy game is such an easy travel where that one's taken away. It just, everyone's schedule gets kind of messed up, but they wanted to make sure that everyone had one road and one home. What did you think about that?
Well, you know, on a personal note, I am sad that I can't travel to Kansas City to get some of that barbecue. I enjoyed the trip to Kansas City last year because that barbecue was really good. I don't know if anybody has been down there, but it's fantastic. Bengals do get to play the Vikings at Paul Brown Stadium, and then they will travel to Atlanta. So those two preseason games are still there. Atlanta, that's one of my favorite cities. I will be going to Busy Bee's. That's one of my favorite restaurants of all time. As you can tell, when I travel on the road, I go out to dinner all the time. So I have my go-to restaurants. But on a football note, you know, the preseason in a normal offseason, I would say that two preseason games is enough. And you know, I've always thought during my entire time covering the National Football League that the preseason should be reduced to two games. But I have to say this offseason is an exception. We're obviously going through unforeseen circumstances with the coronavirus pandemic. There's been absolutely no unfilled practices this offseason because of COVID-19. So everyone's going to be affected. To a lesser extent, the veterans will be because, you know, they've been around the block before. They know what it's like to prepare for a regular season. They know how to train their bodies and they're accustomed to it. Of course, nobody's accustomed to a pandemic going on right now, but they know what it takes to prepare for a regular season. Now, for the entire rookie class, they don't know. They have never been an NFL player before. They don't know what the grind is like from off-season workouts to training camp, to preseason, to the regular season. So they are going to be affected. And then, you know, I feel for the undrafted free agents because they already have an uphill battle at making a team in a normal situation. Now, you know, their chances decrease tremendously because the reps are going to be extremely limited. I know I gave you a long-winded answer, but, you know, from thinking in the future and from on a long-term basis, I do like having the preseason at two games. I've always thought the preseason was too long. But this offseason, you know, it is going to affect – the product on the field is going to affect who makes the team, who doesn't make the team, and especially for the rookies because, you know, the learning curve from college football to NFL football is very steep.
I'll just say this right now. I don't feel like we'll ever go back to four preseason games. I mean, if you add an extra regular season game next year, we'll get down to three. And if two works, two works. I know you mentioned rookies and it's difficult for them. I honestly feel like it's a little more difficult for the undrafted guys who are trying to make a team. And I know you mentioned that too. With Joe Burrow, there are several reports, though, that his coach is saying he's ahead of the game. He's ready to rock. This is just a bizarre season anyways. So I feel like if the players aren't ready week one, it is going to take until week two, week three. And you are adjusting to new guys. I mean, you look at the Bengals, a lot of those rookies are going to start right away, even on the defensive side. Yeah, they have some vets who they sign in the offseason, and they're going to have to kind of get that chemistry built on the defensive side too. And that's going to take a while. I just think with this being an odd offseason and what we're going to be dealing with as regular season, it's just going to take everyone a little while, and it's just going to be a rough start to begin regular week one, week two. I actually don't have a problem with it. I just think that these preseason games are obviously, they're going to mean more.
Oh, undoubtedly. Of course, you know, pertaining to Joe Burrow, by all accounts, and I've said it, a lot of other people have said it, he is the most NFL ready quarterback coming out of this year's draft. But still, this condensed and bizarre offseason is going to affect him. It's going to affect all the rookies. And yes, it's going to affect the veterans too, because nobody really had any normal training up period. And, you know, specifically for all the rookies, it you know, that learning curve, you're not going to see a great product of football during the preseason, and if there is a regular season, you're not going to see great football being played for a few weeks. And you're going to see that in all sports. When the NBA comes back, when Major League Soccer comes back, when baseball comes back, players are going to be rusty, and it's going to show on the field. Trust me on that.
You mentioned Burrow, and it's crazy because you hear a lot of people talking, and we hope to hear from more from him as we get into training camp. The Bengals are scheduled to report to Paul Brown Stadium July 28th, is that this guy is just – it's going to be a smooth transition for him. But, again, he's not going to know what it's like until he gets to play in a game. I look forward to these preseason games. Again, there's still a lot, which is crazy to think about, that has to happen in the next 3 to 4 weeks and even into August. What's going to happen? Does the NFLPA sign off on it? Are they okay with this? Do we not see any preseason games at all? My guy, Lewis Riddick, who I think is a total pro, he knows his stuff around the NFL, and he was mentioning it today on Twitter, and I thought about it too. College football doesn't have preseason games. Like, I mean, they have their spring games and stuff like that. They don't really need that for college football. They don't have to play preseason games in the NFL. I mean, if we're where we are with the numbers right now, and I'll leave all that to scientists and everyone behind the scenes who are far better at the COVID crisis that we're dealing with right now. But if we're still dealing with this and the numbers are spiking and they still want to have regular season start on time, we don't have to see preseason, Tyler.
Yeah. You know, I'll just say this. He is absolutely right that college football is a totally different process. They play a spring game, and they do not have preseason football. A lot of college football teams, especially the top tier ones, there's a reason why they start off with cupcake games. And they work their way into, you know, playing the top tier competition. Now, that's not for every team, and you know, that's not all the time. I know Alabama is starting off with USC, if I'm not mistaken. So that's not across the board every single time. But this is professional. These players are getting paid in the NFL, and you know, it's a lot, trust me, harder to prepare and for an NFL season than a college football season. One, the season's longer. Two, the practices are longer. And it's literally your 9-to-5 job in the NFL. In college, I was a college athlete. Yes, it is a job too, but you know, you have classes, then you have practice in the games. The amount of time and energy that you spend as a college athlete, there's no comparison to when you are pro. I'm not I hope I'm not breaking any news here. So with that being said, these NFL players, when they make it back, and if there is a regular season, and if there is no preseason, it's still going to affect the product on the field through the first, I'd say, 4 weeks. And we see it when players don't play in the preseason, from running backs to quarterbacks to, you know, players on the defensive side of the football. When veterans are rested during the preseason, you know, it usually takes a while for them to get acclimated and adjusted to that regular season grind. And that's what it's going to be like this year. It's just, it's normal. It's just a normal thing that happens with all athletes. And it's not just football. It's all athletes.
And you've heard me over the last couple of weeks, and I'm almost into months right now, where I've been optimistic about the return of football. And the reason behind that is because of money. They don't have to have people in stands. They will still make money off the NFL if it is played this season. And I feel we will see that, just talking to several people in the NFL, and everyone seems optimistic on that standpoint. Again, we've never seen anything like this, so things could always change. I think the NFL right now as a whole is playing a little bit of the comparison game, or watching from afar to see how Major League Soccer, the NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, when they return, how they get the season started, because the NFL does benefit. I know the social distancing is a little hard, but they do benefit those leagues starting, having those leagues do the trial and errors, having those leagues do the testing, how they do it. And the NFL can do similar things. And I know a lot is going on behind the scenes that we don't hear about, that the NFL is working on. I truly believe that. I'll give them more credit than maybe some say they deserve. But they get to watch this right now. I mean, right, you see it on your Twitter feed. A couple Reds players tested positive for COVID. They weren't at summer training yet. MLS, some of the people are inside the bubble, found out that they had COVID. They didn't cancel the tournament right away. Tyler, it's a little crazy because we go back to March and the Rudy Gobert situation. As soon as that happened, the world shut down. And now we're learning to almost adjust to it and just be like, okay, now here's the solution. And here's what this player has to do. And here's how we stop it from spreading, or, you know, daily test, weekly test. And I think the NFL can kind of benefit from these other leagues.
Yeah, I do agree from that standpoint. The NFL can watch and, you know, kind of monitor what other leagues are doing. As you mentioned, soccer comes back next week. The NBA is ramping up next week, and they're supposed to start their the end of the regular season July 30th. So the NFL, like we all are monitoring other sports around the country and globe. And the NFL and NFLPA, they are mapping out protocols for a safe return. It still, though, and I hate to be pessimistic, and I know a lot of fans don't want to hear this, but in my opinion, the NFL has the most challenging road at returning. And I've said it on previous podcasts, that's for a plethora of reasons. One, they have, you know, the biggest rosters. Training camp can have around 90 men on a roster. And that's not counting the coaching staff, the training medical staff, and, you know, other team personnel. And, you know, I've been in NFL locker rooms for years. It's impossible to social distance in an NFL locker room, number one, with 53 or 90 players. Number two, I've never been in an NFL locker room where it's just one person sick. Never. If one person has a cold, usually about 3, 4, 5 have a cold. So that... A virus can spread very quickly in an NFL locker room. So you really cannot social distance. Football is not a social distancing sport. And, you know, even when you get on the football field, you know, players are sweating, tackling each other. And, I mean, not to get too graphic, but when players tackle each other, you know, droplets and spit is all over everywhere. So when you walk on a football field, there are droplets that, you know, scientists say stay 8 feet away or stay 6 feet away, socially distanced, you know, to prevent you from running into a droplet that maybe another person has spread. A football field is full of droplets because players are running, hitting each other all the time. So droplets are just running rampant. So you have to worry about that. And then, you know, it's just going to be tough. And I want football to come back. I'm, you know, a huge football fan. And at, you know, as a journalist, as a sports journalist, it's great for me to cover the Bengals and the entire National Football League. And I love competition. I love communicating with the players and the coaches. But safety comes first. And we have to make sure that everyone is safe before we return to sports. And look, I get it. We all want to return to some sort of normalcy. But right now, is it safe? Honestly, I would have to say no. If you look across the country, you know, all these states, you know, they're backtracking the reopening process. And there's a reason behind that. There's been a surge in cases. If, you know, you look on the local news or national news, we're approaching 3 million confirmed coronavirus cases right now. So we're facing a long road ahead at so I hope there's sports and I hope we can return. But it's going to be a challenge for every single sport and particularly the NFL, because the NFL franchises, there are so many people involved.
I agree with you. Safety is the number one concern. I think Adam Silver mentioned this last week with Rachel Nichols. He said no options are risk-free right now, yet we can't sit on the sidelines indefinitely. We must adapt. And I know that sounds – it can kind of sound insensitive too, because obviously health is the most important thing. But I do agree with Adam Silver and that, like, my point earlier where, you know, the world shut down when Rudy was tested positive and we were just kind of like done with everything and we didn't know when things were going to return sports. Everything started to shut down in states and just across the United States. And I thought, wow, like, when will we see sports again, or how are we going to see sports again? And then it was all about flattening the curve. And then it was, now we need a vaccine. And now we have sports slowly returning, and a big reason, as I mentioned before, I think money is a big factor, and I want football to return. obviously, safety. I will say that over and over again, safety. Make sure you're wearing that mask. But training camp, it's about 4 weeks away. Actually, 4 weeks from today, that players are going to report to Paul Brown Stadium July 28th. I know there are reports that rookies can get there around July 19th, but again, all that stuff is to be determined. There's still a lot of unknowns behind the scene, Tyler, because we haven't even heard what's happening with the NFLPA and the NFL, and they have to agree to this. Are they going to get training camp to start in less than a month?
They're working on it. I know both sides are motivated to get a football season, but, you know, it's all about safety first, and there needs to be mass testing for everyone across the league who are involved with these NFL franchises. So, you know, they're working on protocols for a safe return. And, you know, I know that this week, the rest of this week and next week, the NFL and the NFLPA are, you know, negotiating and trying to their best to negotiate, you know, a safe way to return. I just keep on saying, man, it just, to me, it just seems so daunting for both sides. One, to come up with an agreement, and then to actually make it on the field with a rosters of 90 plus men throughout, you know, the entire league, 32 teams. So, you know, Lindsay, I hope we can see each other out on the field at training camp. That's my goal. That's all of our goal. We want to get sports back. You, you know, me personally, it's great to have sports, and it gives, you know, a diversion of everything that's happening around the country and the world. But I keep on saying it's going to be tough.
I was telling someone the other day who covers the NFL for the Saints, I said, you know what? I won't even complain if it's 110 degrees in July if we're watching training camp in a couple of weeks. I'm that ready for it. And as you mentioned, it's always a nice distraction from, you know, not to say it's a distraction from COVID, but that's kind of, you know, we see daily, and you know, the news isn't getting better. And I hope it does. And the only way to do that is just, you know, hopefully follow it in the safety guidelines. And unfortunately, we won't really find out about all this stuff. And I think it will be, you know, close to the third week of July. I'm not breaking any news there with camp starting July 28th, but I think this is going to come down to the wire. And it will be interesting to see if any players decide, I want to sit out this, or I don't want to play till regular season, to see if that's a factor. Because Major League Baseball, we saw that this week. It was just a few players who just said, hey, I'm going to sit this one out. 60-game season, of course, it was a shortened season. The NFL is still hoping to play their full regular season and start it on time. So the next couple of weeks are some of the most important in the NFL. And if it starts, and if it, you know, gets delayed or anything like that, that's all to be determined. But I feel optimistic we will see an NFL season. One thing I want to bring up, because if we do see a regular season, the Bengals, I know this came out to season ticket holders yesterday, they are giving fans the option to opt out of season tickets. You know, and if fans do attend games, any NFL games at stadiums, they're going to have to sign a COVID waiver, which is not, you know, that's not different than a lot of places. That makes total sense, that the NFL and all the home stadiums would ask fans to do that. I actually put on social media about 3 hours ago, I said, if fans are allowed to attend an NFL game in 2020 and sign a COVID waiver, are you going to a game this year, yes or no? Just a couple hours, almost 1,000 people voted. And it's so easy on Twitter. And, you know, people, I hope you're being honest when you're doing it. And people, yes or no. Yes, 48%. No, 52%. Which is pretty close to not, yeah, like all of a sudden, no, I won't do it. I mean, I wasn't asking for a direct response. Some people did respond. Some people said, hey, I have season tickets, I'm going to opt out this year. And again, the Bengals are giving fans the option to opt out, which is really great. You know, you're not losing your license for that seat, and you can come back next year with no problem and not losing your seat. And we've heard also the first couple rows are going to be blocked off for marketing and ads. And again, that's all to be determined. We'll see what happens. A lot of people said, it's my responsibility to have a mask on, and I'll go to the game. I'll have hand sanitizer. I'll be there cheering for them. And then there are other people saying, I'm going to sit this one out because I'm thinking about other people around me.
So let me ask you, if you were, you know, just a fan, weren't a journalist, did not cover the NFL, and you were a season ticket holder, would you sit at Paul Brown Stadium this season to watch the Bengals play?
Okay, so that's
I put you on the question. Spot.
That's a tricky question, because, like, for you and I, Tyler, like, if we are at games and we get to cover them this year, and again, all that's to be determined on media coverage and how far away we'll be from players, and if it's just Zoom interviews, and I totally understand either way. But we're so far from the players if we are in the press box that we don't, you know, we're not around, we're around each other. And obviously, if we have to get tested or if we have to take our temperature, that makes total sense before you enter a stadium. That's a little different because it's in our own little area and there's not a whole lot of people, I want to say, not as like when you're outside in a stadium. It's funny you mentioned that though, because my parents, they actually have season tickets and they sit in like the corner end zone, and they've had them all my whole entire life, and about 10 to 15 of them. And I've had that conversation with them and they don't know yet. They have not decided if they want to go to these games. And I don't blame people, but here's the thing, Tyler, I've heard for years from fans and people who just love the game who are like, I would rather stay home anyways because it's expensive. I like the red zone channel. I just don't want to deal with it. Some fans are drunk. People have their different opinions of going to games, and some people would rather just watch them at home anyway. So now you have a pandemic, then of course they're going to stay home. I think just listening to season ticket holders or people who go to games religiously, no matter what, even when there's losing seasons, to see what happens. I'm not answering your question because I don't know.
I know you're not. I was about to say, you are not answering my question.
I'm so good at not answering
questions. You are dodging my question to the best of your ability.
I am so good at avoiding things I don't want to answer. I don't know, Tyler. I really don't know. I think that it gives, obviously they're going to have more coming out in the next couple of weeks. If fans want to decide to opt out, you're going to have to make that decision, I'm guessing, pretty early. And by early, mid-July, I think that's fair for the Bengals and season ticket holders. But I think at the same time, it depends on what everything's looking like in September. And I mean, I'm not really encouraged with the numbers right now to say things are going to get better. I hope we're all wrong and things just take a drastic turn, but I just don't know. I don't know. I don't think I have any answer.
Did you vote in your own Twitter poll?
No, I didn't vote on my own Twitter poll. I'm actually mad because I put this out about 4 hours ago, and I wish I would have had it going 24 hours. But the COVID stuff just kind of came out as far as fan signing waivers. And I was like, you know what? I want people to answer where we don't have to see their responses. Cause I feel like people are honest when they don't have to put their like, yes, I will go. No, I won't. And they could just click yes or no. And I thought that was pretty close. I mean, it was almost 50-50 of fans saying, yeah, I'm going to go to games no matter what. And then some saying they're not. And most of the people who responded with a reply all said, hey, you know, I don't for this reason, or I will. And the only reason I will is because I will have protection as far as a mask. And the NFL might ask fans if there's fans there. I don't feel optimistic about it, but we'll see. But if there's fans there, they might make that a rule where you have to wear a mask. You can't watch the game without one. So, I don't know, Tyler.
Well, yeah, you did dodge my question.
I did, and I still can't answer it because I don't know. I mean, for us, like I said, it's different. If we get to cover games this year and our interviews are via Zoom or far away from the players, or if we're at training camp and the players are really – like, it's just so different for us, even if we have to social distance – at things while we're there. You know, I don't know. It's tough. You know why it's tough? I'm trying to put myself in like a season ticket holder or a fan's shoes. Mm-hmm. Such an active off season, and there was so much hype around this team. I mean, as you know, nationally, when you get a guy like Joe Burrow, they had a pretty good draft. He got loaded in the linebacker room on the defensive side. I think there's so much hype that it is hard for some people to say, it's just different watching a game from home. They want to be there. They want to be there for the hype for Joe Burrow's first game. But, look, Joe Burrow could be playing in front of empty stadiums. The NFL, like I said, man, they have some big decisions to make with it being a different sport than the NBA, Major League Soccer, and Major League Baseball. I mean, Major League Baseball, their arguments – had more to do with the money situation and games played versus the, and of course COVID was a concern and health was a concern, but like that was like not the main reason that they couldn't meet on the same page. So that's a little different. You can social distance in baseball. We've talked about that. I think we're about to see some crazy stuff in the next couple of weeks, and maybe the NFL just has two preseason games, no fans in the stadium for preseason, no fans for the first half of the season. Media, you only get this amount of time, you know, all of it's just, we've never seen anything like it. So it's so hard to predict the future when, you know, the numbers aren't super great right now. I just think that we've learned and what Adam Silver said, and I agree with him, and I got a little bit of hate on it. I agree that we have to adapt and we can't sit on the sidelines. And yeah. I hope that doesn't sound insensitive because I do care about health, and I'm going away this weekend to be with my family, but I have my mask packed. I have all of my, you know, what we're going to do, and we're going to be just together, a small group of us, and I'm not going out. I'm not, you know, going to places for lunch. I'm kind of more low key in how I do my life right now, because I do think about how the virus has spread, and I'm trying to, you know, be safe and be smart and not do things, you know, that's inconsiderate, that could hurt other people. And it sounds silly, and I'm not trying to preach because I know people get tired of it and see it on social media, but like, if you want football this year, make sure you're wearing that mask. If you want to go to games this year, and if there's a chance, you know, fans can return and we see all the regular season, or we see those two preseason games and you get to see Joe Burrow. I mean, you got to do that part too. And you got to take part in that. And I don't know, maybe I'm too optimistic. I'll get killed for this on social media for being way too positive that we're going to see the NFL this year.
Yeah, well, you are optimistic, Lindsay.
I don't know why.
I do agree that, you know, everyone should wear a mask. And, you know, people, I see people going out to dinner and having parties and, you know, all that. If you're practicing social distancing is okay if you're a limited amount of people, but please, please wear a mask. Wear that mask. This virus is nothing to play with, and we need to treat this pandemic very seriously because it's affecting a whole lot of people. Like I said, we're approaching 3 million confirmed cases right now, and almost 130,000 people have died from this virus. So we need to treat this very seriously.
You know what, Tyler? We talked a lot about the potential of training camp and all that's to be determined. We'll talk about things that we do know or what's to be determined on the offensive line right now. I had a chance to talk to Jeff Schwartz. He's an O-line expert, actually played about 9 years in the NFL. And we talked a little bit about Jonah Williams, Bobby Hart versus Fred Johnson. I think that's one of the biggest things in training camp, getting to see that. Because, look, we've talked a lot about the off the field and everything else when it comes to the NFL and what we're dealing with and if we're going to see a season. I think when you look at the offensive line, I'm going back to football, that Bobby Hart versus Fred Johnson – between only having two preseason games to maybe a longer offseason or training camp that we're going to see in the month of July into August. That's the competition I'm looking at right now. What about you?
Oh, yeah. So later this month, I am going to post my top camp battles, and that will be one of them for sure. The Bengals, they are high on Fred Johnson. I've spoke to Zach Taylor. I spoke to Jim Turner about Fred Johnson multiple times. And they are very complimentary of him. He started week 17, if you don't remember it. Week 16, he took the majority of the snaps in front of Cordy Glenn versus that overtime game versus the Miami Dolphins. And Bobby Hart, you know, he's inconsistent. He was the most penalized offensive lineman on the Bengals last season. You know, he does flash from time to time, but consistency is Bobby Hart's biggest issue. And going into this season, that's a competition to keep your eye on, that right tackle spot, because the Bengals, they are really high on Fred Johnson. He's athletic. He moves his feet well. He's a little raw. His technical – the technical aspect of his game isn't there yet, but that will come with repetition. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how he's able to develop, if there are practices in training camp, and how he gets better during the preseason, because, you know, the Bengals, they are – want him to be involved in this competition, and he's right there to be able to start ahead of Bobby Hart. And that's not really a knock on Bobby Hart. He just has not been that consistent. And I think he will be able to tell you that himself through, you know, getting beat off the line to losing his technique against some of the premier pass rushers in the league, and then just the mental mistakes from false starts to holding. So he was penalized often last season. So that competition is going to be one to watch.
And on the left side, Jonah Williams. Look, we haven't had a chance to really see him at all in a game. We're hoping in training camp we'll get to see more of him. But I talked to his trainer a little bit over the weekend. He told me that, you know, just of course he's gonna praise his guy, but he said one of his strengths right now is how quick he is. And I talked to him about the AFC North defenses. Obviously he has to face those two times a year, and just other factors into the NFL, and the biggest difference from that rookie, because it's still pretty much kind of like his rookie year since he was out all of last season. And he said that Jonah, he's been naming the AFC North defenses, he knows his competition. So that guy is book smart, football smart, and I think, you know, you look at the offensive line as a whole and give Jim Turner another year. I know people were down on it last year because it was just craziness. Speaking of left tackle, Cordy Glenn situation, I think when you look at what they're dealing with right now, look, the Bengals know they have to get better on the offensive line. They didn't add their, you know, heavy into the draft. They did bring in Hakeem Adeniji. And, you know, who knows where they could plug him in. I know his trainer's working with him to get him ready as far as the depth position. Billy Price is actually working with a new trainer for the first time. I think Billy realizes, obviously, he's not going to play center. That's Trey Hopkins' job. He was the most consistent player on the offensive line last year. I'm not breaking any news there. But I think it's huge that Billy Price realized, like, look, I still want to play. I feel like I can be a starter or at least a good depth piece. I'm going to go work with someone. It was the first time he's ever done that. So this offseason, he's trying to get better on the O-line. So their O-line is getting a little better, but I think obviously you got to figure out what's happening with Bobby Hart versus Fred Johnson. But we'll stick with the offense right now, man. Any latest on Joe Mixon? Are we going to see a deal or not?
So I can tell you this. Sources have told me that Joe Mixon is not going to hold out of training camp. He will be at training camp. One of the main reasons is because he does not want to get fined. Will we see a deal before training camp? I doubt it. You know, the Bengals and Joe Mixon, I know they have discussed a deal, but they're not really – that close right now, I will say that. But the good news is, you know, I know some other reporters have said Joe Mixon is a possible holdout candidate. From what I'm hearing is he is not going to hold out of training camp. He will be there. He won't be happy. He wants a new deal. He wants to be paid like one of the top running backs in the NFL. He saw what Christian McCaffrey got. He believes, you know, he's in the top 5 to 8 best running backs in the National Football League, and he wants to be paid like one of the top running backs in the National Football League. So it's the Bengals have some tough decisions to make soon, because, you know, then you have AJ Green floating out there. Are they going to finalize a long-term deal with him before the July 15th deadline? From what I've been hearing, they're not. And AJ Green is going to play out this season from that franchise tag. But minds can change from now until July 15th. And minds can change before week one of the regular season. And the Bengals could get something done with Joe Mixon. But it's going to cost him, because he wants to be paid like one of the upper echelon running backs in the National Football League. But they're going to have to do some cap maneuvering with, you know, AJ Green's situation, him wanting to get paid, and also with Joe Mixon and him wanting to get paid as well.
Are you breaking like low-key news towards the end of this podcast?
I mean, if you want to say that.
I legit, I'm saying you're breaking some low-key news. No, the Joe Mixon thing, here's what I'll say about Joe Mixon and AJ Green. If we weren't dealing with COVID and AJ Green was healthy in 2019, AJ Green deal would have already been done. Now we're dealing with COVID, so I don't blame the Bengals at all for not getting these deals done right now, because you don't know. They don't know what this year is going to look like. And you have the franchise under AJ, and Joe's under contract this year. So I mean, this is my personal opinion. I know your sources and your reports are going to be more accurate, but I don't have a problem if they just don't get those deals done. And, you know, you bet on them. You bet on your offense. If AJ Green goes off, if Joe Mixon goes off, well, that's when it factors in, and maybe that's where it bites you. But I think COVID obviously is just the biggest factor in why that Joe Mixon deal is not going to get done right now.
That's a factor. I won't personally say it's the biggest factor, but that is a factor. I will say that.
All right, Tyler, what's up on Cincinnati.com?
So I had an exclusive interview with NFL Hall of Fame quarterback Warren Moon about a multitude of topics, from Joe Burrow to, you know, the Bengals franchise to Colin Kaepernick. And I have a couple stories on Cincinnati.com. So go ahead and give it a read. Warren Moon, he's one of the best quarterbacks of all time. I used to watch him growing up, and he's a Hall of Famer for a reason, and he was nice enough to accept my interview request, and we talked at length. So there are two good stories up that I think you'll like to read.
Make sure you check that out. I did a couple of interviews this week. Amy Trask, former CEO of the Raiders. We talked a little bit of behind the scenes, what's happening, what factors in as owners are meeting during this crisis situation. Jeff Schwartz, as I mentioned, we went O-line heavy. Talked to Jonah Williams, trainer. And next week, Bengals fans, I'm talking to a former Bengal, which I'm really excited about. We're going to go heavy in the wide receiver room and another GM. So more to come. Cincinnati.com. We'll get you ready to the countdown to training camp. As we mentioned, it is scheduled July 28th. We'll be back next week on the Bengals Beat podcast with our guy, Kareem Elgazar. Thank you for joining us, Lindsey Patterson and Tyler Dragon on the Bengals Beat podcast.